we've looked at, just showing
what it is. Yeah, okay. Well, it was basically a question.
Okay. No, I don't know anything.
Okay. Well, that answers the question.
Romans 13. Remember yesterday I said the word for minister was the same as the in verse 7, I guess. Yeah, 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. But I saw something else. Go to Hebrews 8.
Stuff that happened
in the last time we went through. What?
Off on little tangents like this, going
for keep seeing stuff. We have gotten farther. Is that water running? Yeah.
The gas is on
there.
Put your gas in there.
That's better.
Nice.
What was it?
What was
it,
Pete?
It was a fan. Oh. And I turned off all the burners. The ovens are still on. Keep it warm.
Hebrews 8. Now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Now what we're talking about here is he's talking about Jesus. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. The word that's describing Jesus' role as minister is the same one that's used in verse 6 of Romans 13. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon the very thing. So this has elevated the work of government, no matter how odious you think it might be, to the same position as the work of Jesus. You understand this? This is kind of a big deal.
It's like a parable for us.
It's not a parable. It's a fact.
Well, it's a parable.
Well, no, it's, but again, it's, listen. Start in verse 4. Let's look the whole thing in context. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of men. Praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. It's not a parable. It's a command. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And it's talking.
This is almost like offensive to common sense, because surely we know that there's good governments and bad governments.
No, it's totally saying, offensive.
Yeah.
And this doesn't necessarily mean that these people know that they're ministers of God.
They don't know it.
It's just a thing that happens, just like the things that come into your life that you think are bad, you see through them.
This... It's the same thing. Every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not a parable. But we don't see that. We say all kinds of things and have all kinds of things to fight. Here it's saying that the government officials of whatever government or whatever authority they have, not just but anyone that's in authority over you, is the minister of God. That his word for minister there is exactly the same word that used to describe the work of Christ. What this says to us, it has to say, is it's finished. There is nothing more that we can do on earth. The only thing that's going on is the kingdom of God in as in heaven, so is it in you. And this, I promise you, if you really live this, it'll cause you untold internal crises that you'll have to repent of. John, do you understand? And it gets worse.
I've been reading some stuff about Josephus, you know, and he was in that same position where he, same position as the prophets, you know, it said these people are working for God, you know.
Amen.
Resist, and everybody else was, they thought he was an odious traitor.
Well, they thought he was a traitor, yeah.
This whole deal, so.
But this time, and especially in this political season, when everybody's got an opinion, it's crap. Because we are not of this world. We are in eternity now. What goes on in the world is only to find out if there's anything that can take you off the mercy seat. If you're not in the mercy seat, then don't pay any attention to this. It doesn't mean anything to you. The work of God has nothing to do with what we can see, feel, hear, taste, touch, or smell. The work of God, from his perspective, is finished. It's done. It's completed. The only thing that is going on is it completed in you? Of course it is. But your rebellion and self-seeking is causing it you to be in a state other than a state of grace. And the minute you're in that state other than grace, then the Holy Spirit has to become your enemy, and it has to push you to the point of failure until you finally, and that's his grace. He has to push you until you cannot accomplish a thing. And then we say, oh man, I'm going to come to Jesus and he's going to fix all this and then I'll be good and then I'll be successful. Look at all those guys on TBN that are successful when they came to Jesus. And you've jumped directly from the mercy seat back to Babylon. What? You're doing something.
I'm thinking that this makes me feel unhinged.
It should.
Yeah.
And what I'm about to say next is going to make you far, far more unhinged.
The door will fall off.
Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now this is a summary command. It's in the present imperative tense. It's stop owing to anyone even the slightest thing. Why do people get in debt? I want. Remember, a while back we studied all of the types of indebtedness that we have. There's parental debt. There's societal debt. There's the performance debt. And all these debts that are the psychic debts, if you will, are all attempts at your own redemption. And so, do you understand what that means? Remember, the silver is always your own redemption. That's why in the tabernacle in the wilderness, all of the things that went into the ground had to be silver. So there was only the redemption. There was nothing but his redemption. But what we do with gold is always our glory. If we could only accomplish this, if we could only do this, if we could only be there. And silver is what you pay debt with, i.e., you've got to meet up the standards of your parents, or you've got these nagging things that are in the back of your mind that you do or don't do. Do you understand this idea about debt? It's not just money. It's owe no man anything. Stop owing to anyone even the slightest thing. Because if you're in debt, you cannot love. That's why in the Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur, the debt is a vow. That's all a debt is. So you remove all vows and you burn them, even marriage vows. Because if there's debt, there can't be love, by definition. What? So, is anybody here in debt?
When you put it that way, I don't remember.
If there is the slightest debt, whether it's financial, whether it's vows, whether it's oaths, whether it's promises, whether it's images that you feel you have to accomplish and be something, whether it's all these little dealies your parents, if there's the slightest debt, if there's debt, there cannot be love. It can't happen. And that's why this next verse, the second part of this verse, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. If you're in debt, you can't love. So if you can't love, you can't fulfill the law. Well, so what do? This even our system has a way of. That's what you know. You get in debt to such a degree, and then you have bankruptcy, and the debts are as if they never existed. Of course, now in our system, we've got all kinds of exceptions. But that's what, if you can...
Really, we have to declare bankruptcy. I mean, that's the idea. My debts are too big. That's sort of a picture.
Right. It's exactly a picture.
That's what I meant, exactly a picture.
Uh-oh. So any kind of debt, no matter how small... Any financial obligation, any psychic obligation is hindering you from love. What do you do about it?
I'm thinking about it in this room, in this setting, is there debt? I haven't answered your question yet, but I suspect there is.
Well, obviously, if you have an image to perform in any way because of me, then there's debt. And that's just goofy. That's insane. And if for those that are married here, if you have some promises to keep, then there's a debt. And in that debt, there can't be love, because it's axiomatic. With debt, there can't be love. So whether or not there's debts in this room, that's for each one of you to decide. But I, you know, you, that's the way. You know how you tell if there's debts? You push somebody's button, and that happens to be my ministry. And you push the button, and if the response is self-justification, you know there's debt. You've been so in debt to time all these years.
That's
that
not true.
Very good.
Very good here.
Gary did a funny. Unfortunately, never mind. Can everybody see the depth of this? Oh, this is a summary command. Present imperative tense. It's always the summary. It's always there. Boom, boom, boom. Owe to no man anything. Owe to no system anything.
Well, the evidence of whether it's what you're doing is out of love or out of debt. Debt is your awareness of the response.
Right. You have an investment in the outcome.
If I feel like I need to be here for you and you don't acknowledge that I'm here, then it's not love, it's debt.
Right. Or what Harry used to, he always wanted me to say hi to him, so I never did. And he would just get so mad at me, he couldn't stand it. He was arrogant asshole.
You owe him a hi.
I owe him a hi. No, I don't. I'm not going to dance just because he's playing, nor should any of you.
You should say hi out of love rather than out of debt.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You want to. You
owe. Now, the interesting thing about this mystery of love is the practice of love deepens. I mean, it's like, I'll tell a story on Harry. This period, this time for him, by our understanding, it's just terrible. All of the suffering and pain he's going through and still going through and can't breathe. But this interesting thing happened. There's this nurse that was the RN that had most of the responsibility. Her name was Jessica at Baylor. And I was waiting for him when he was being released. And so he had, and they were waiting for somebody to, you know, one of those guys in the wheelchair to come up and get him. And he got very vulnerable, and he said to her, he thanked her profusely because she had shown him what real concern and care and love for another person is without, I mean, she saw, he and her, in his weakened condition, saw this mystery of love. And it just, both of them started bawling. And what that did is it ministered to Jessica, but the whole, I mean, there's nothing that can pay for that experience for Harry. There's nothing that could. And so God, whether, I mean, she may be a pagan, I don't know, but the, her giving of love to him caused him deep repentance and thankfulness for the understanding of what true love means. Because she had no investment in the outcome. She, you know, she obviously was concerned and wanted him to get well, but it had no bearing on whether or not she had nothing invested, and that's the main
payback.
Thing.
There wasn't no payback.
There was no payback.
He was leaving, and that was going to be it. Yeah.
But that's the mystery of love. It's when in Psalm 119, it's open thou mine eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. And the wondrous things that we see is this, by the practice of love, we see a deeper, mind-blowing understanding of love. And it opens our heart. But this is, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What a statement. I don't feel like talking anymore. We're going to spend a little more time on debt.
I was talking to the boys about, you know, we were talking about the Ten Commandments, and I talked about Jesus condensing it down to that, you know, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Paul condenses it down to this one sentence, you know, which is love somebody you fulfill the law. Love fulfills the law.
And really, that's all of these. There's 613 laws of Moses. And then it's condensed down to the 10. And it's condensed down to the 3. What does God require of thee, O man? Remember that one? Who can complete the sentence?
Walk humbly. That's about all I can do. Do justice and
love mercy.
Love mercy.
Or something. It's in that. And then Jesus said, love your neighbor, I mean, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, your neighbor, yourself, and down to 2. And Paul takes it down to 1. And 1 is the fulfillment of all of the others. But it's love without investment. If you need someone, you can't love them. You understand that? That's big. You can appreciate them. You can be, but if you need them to fulfill you, you can't love because you put them in debt.
Yeah, you're really trying to consume them rather than
right. You're eating their flesh. But anyway, that's a whole other world. We're going to spend some time on all of these different kinds of debt because. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Anybody have any response?
Well, yeah, it sort of turns around and speaks back to the previous.
Amen.
About the response to
government
and people in authority, because you're doing it not because out of duty, but because you see something and you respond out of love.
Amen.
Love for Christ, because that's who you're seeing.
We love because he first loved us. As he is in the world, so are we. But again, you can't think of this as separate. I mean, when we study these, you have to. If you're in the picture, your only response is repentance, not to do.
God, he wills.
He wills and does it in you, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. But the real thing that has to be going on inside you is God is waiting until you have no response to you have no investment in the outcome. And that's a hard thing to understand. Because it's everything in us wants to have an investment in the outcome. Well, that's just the tell that you're still doing it to benefit you. A little bit.
And you can't fake not having a response. That's a religion.
Well, it's just hypocrisy.
Yeah, you gotta be.
But that's why the repentance goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And the way gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And that's a blessing. All righty. If the Lord delays his coming, I hope he gets here. Anyway, I hope you don't have to study anything on Monday. Take a big guy.
What?
I want him to come this weekend. I want him to take us up.
You know,